The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, The Increased Power of the Holy Spirit.
Today I want to speak to you on the increased power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is personally increasing in power, because all power was His in the very beginning. He's part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Trinity. And all power, He is omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful. And there's no way that He can increase in power in Himself. But His power is increasing on the earth, and His power is increasing in us. And so today I want to speak to you about the increased power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If there was ever a day when we need an increased anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is today. I believe we are in a time in history when we will look back to this very year and say this year was the year that things really began to slide morally and economically and in every way in the nation. We are on a fast track toward the book of Revelation and toward difficult, difficult times. And there will be no government agency that will be able to help you at the end of the day. There will be no group that can help you at the end of the day. There will be no establishment that will be able to help you at the end of the day. Even with good intentions, they will not be able to help you at the end of the day. But there is one who will help you at the end of the day, and He is the Holy Spirit. He is the agent from heaven. He is the representative on the earth of the Lord God Almighty, and He is with you. Today, I want to speak to you about the increased power of the Holy Spirit. Already, I sense the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and I believe that what is going to happen today as I speak to you on this subject, your faith is going to increase, your eyes are going to open to see more of what God is doing on the earth and in your life, and you're going to be more equipped to walk in step with the purposes and plans of God for this season of time. And so, let's get right into the Word of God, shall we? I'm going to take you through three scriptures that highlight three different ages of time. First of all, the time before creation, and then the Old Covenant time period or age, and now the New Covenant time period. In each of these time periods, we find that the Holy Spirit has become more manifest, more powerful on the earth, and more directive in what He is doing. Open your Bibles with me then to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to start reading to you at the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1. We read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Let's pray. Just put your hands open on your lap right now, would you? And let's come into agreement to hear the voice of God today. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious word to us. We thank You for the stirrings of Your Holy Spirit already in our hearts in this place. And now we ask for the release of the word of God. We ask for illumination and revelation. We ask for anointing, and we ask for change in our lives for Your glory and purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning of what we know as time, when eternity shifted into the age of time and the earth, the Bible says that the earth was formless and empty. It was void. It was a dark place. It was a place that was unorganized, and in itself, it was a mess. And the Bible says that God created everything in its primal, basic form. But then the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that wakes you up in the morning and speaks to you, the same Spirit of God that leads you and comforts you and teaches you, the same Spirit of God who moves in miraculous signs and wonders. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, over the darkness, and over the emptiness. I wonder, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Hovering over the planet. I see a picture of a hawk that hovers over its prey. When it's about to strike, it sees the animal in the grass. It sees what it's about to do. And with determination, when the moment is right, the hawk plunges down and takes hold of his prey. Here we see the Holy Spirit is hovering over the darkness of the earth. I think there was a moment of pause, a moment when the Holy Spirit thought of all that he was going to do for this planet and in this planet. I think in this moment of time, he looked millennia and millennia, thousands and thousands of years on into the future, and saw the coming of Jesus. He saw the Father sending the Son. He saw at the end of the tribulation period, the Lord in his second coming, setting up his thousand-year reign on the earth. The Lord Jesus saying, "This shall be my new headquarters," setting up his home in Jerusalem. And then 1,000 years later, God Almighty, it says in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 to 5, that God himself shall come and dwell with us, and we shall see him face to face, and he will be in Jerusalem with the Lamb. It's as if God Almighty determined somewhere back in eternity, I want a new headquarters. And so he looked among the stars and among the planets of the earth, among the planets of the universe, and he chose this little planet that we now call Earth. And he said, this is the place. And in this moment of creation, as the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the deep, I think if it's possible, if we can see him, he has a smile on his face. Because he says, I'm going to take that which is dark, and that which is empty, and that which is purposeless, and I'm going to bring creation, and I'm going to bring everything that is wonderful. I'm going to bring the glory of God into this place. I'm going to set it up so that God will walk one day on this planet. Amen. And then he says, and there will be many creatures here, animals of every kind, beautiful in their design, intricate in their variety. But there will be one among them who will be made in the image and likeness of the Lord God Almighty, in the image of God, men and women. And I think at this very moment of time, as the Spirit hovers over the face of the deep, he sees all that is coming, all that is future. And he sees you in the middle of it all. And a smile comes upon his face. And at this moment, when he's hovering over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God says, let there be. And boom, the light came. The water separated. Everything that has been created was made by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why when it came time for mankind to be made, the Bible says that the heavens spoke and said, let us make God, or make man, excuse me, let us make man in our image. So we see the beginnings of the Holy Spirit. He is there with awesome power, with ominous directive and purpose and determination. And he fills the atmosphere. The second time I see a great moving of the Holy Spirit is during what we know as the Old Covenant. The old covenant is very different from the new covenant, but still it has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. If you read about the patriarchs, you'll find that the Spirit of God came upon them from time to time. They did not have a constant indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he rose up with power and authority. We find that holy men of old were equipped from time to time by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says concerning the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, that God came and took them by the hand, and he walked them out of Egypt. That's what happened. Miraculous signs and wonders happened. But the greatest event, I think, of a movement of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was when the temple was built. First, it was just a tabernacle, a tent in the wilderness. God had spoken to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to build the tabernacle in the wilderness in the exact same details as that which is in the heavens. He says, make it after the pattern that is in the heavens. And he did. And there in the middle of that tent in the wilderness was the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit lived in that place. And once a year, the high priest could go into that place. The Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit of God was there. Out of that Ark of the Covenant rose a mile-high flame of fire, a pillar that was there every night. It must have been a scary thing for the other nations around Israel to see this 2 million plus numbered people camped around this fire that went a mile up into the heavens, and it was there every single night for 40 years. I don't think you want to mess with a people that have fire among them like that. It was the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. During the daytime, the cloud was there, rose up like a pillar, and wherever they went, the cloud went, and wherever they went, the fire went. They followed the fire and the cloud. And then God spoke to David and then to his son and said, you are to build for me a temple. And that which was a tent became a solid building on Mount Moriah, which is Mount Zion, which is now Jerusalem. And there the temple was built. And so we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 about the building of the temple and what happened. When all the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things his father David had dedicated, the silver and gold and all the furnishings, and placed them in the treasuries of God's temple. And then we read in verse 13 of chapter 5, 2 Chronicles, the trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And over in the seventh chapter, we read a little bit more in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. So first we see the creation, the Holy Spirit of God hovering over the planet with ominous determination to change it into a beautiful place and to see that man walks with God in this place. And then we find here when the temple is built, the Holy Spirit comes and the glory of the Lord and the cloud of glory fill the temple. It is so powerful. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He has now come and made the ground holy ground. He is living among men. And in this place, the anointing is so great that the priests cannot stand. Many times the place was shaken. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. There was a cloud that filled the whole place. And the people of God sensed and saw and felt the presence of God, that they fell on their faces before the Lord. It was so powerful what the Holy Spirit has done. Many people think we want to go back there. They say, oh, let us feel. Let us see. Holy Spirit, will you come? You know, it's wrong, technically, if we come to a church and say, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come here today. Because the Holy Spirit is already here. We're not in the old covenant now. We're in the new covenant. He is within us. And when you came into this building today, you brought a measure and a part of the Holy Spirit with you. This is an amazing thing. I call it the increased power of the Holy Spirit. And so we find after Jesus came to the planet, he was growing in the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was born as a cute, cuddly little baby. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He could not argue until he grew a little older. He could not study. He couldn't preach. He couldn't perform miracles. He was just a little baby. And the Bible says he grew as a boy in favor with God and with man. But when he entered into the ministry, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness. And he came out of the wilderness after 40 days and went up in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And then we started to see miracles and signs and wonders. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free, to lift off the oppression, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. This day, these words have been completed in your hearing. The Holy Spirit was moving in him. The presence of God came as the heavenly agent. The Holy Spirit moved. And we find that this Holy Spirit is the down payment of that which is your inheritance in eternity. He is the same Holy Spirit that hovered over this planet at the creation time and said, I'm going to make this place a beautiful place, a glorious place. It's going to be a place fit for the King of the universe. And he will have people, men and women, walking with him. The same Holy Spirit that filled the temple. Only now we read in the New Testament age, in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them. Would you say all of them? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit came on that day. Of course, before that time, he came upon Jesus. And through all the age of the patriarchs, he came and left. But you remember what John the Baptist said? He said that God told him that when he saw the Spirit coming like a dove, staying on somebody and remaining, coming and remaining, that would be the Son of God. That would be the Lamb of God. And it happened at the baptism of Jesus. The Spirit of God came, descended like a dove, and stayed, didn't leave. And now he ushered in the age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The new covenant is all about the Holy Spirit at work in you. He said, no longer am I putting my law on tablets of stone, external shadows. Now I'm writing them on your heart. And you have no need that anybody teach you, for I will teach you. And I will know you, and you will know me. From the youngest to the oldest, they shall prophesy. And the Holy Spirit, the same powerful, hovering Holy Spirit of creation, has now come inside of you. This is the increased power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to three things. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than you can imagine. The Holy Spirit is more purposeful than you can imagine. And the Holy Spirit is more personal. He is more powerful, more purposeful, and more personal than you can imagine. In his power, he's the demon chaser. In his power, he's the prison breaker. In his power, he breaks every yoke. By the anointing, every yoke can be broken. By his power, he sets captives free. He still purifies with fire. He still causes the earthquakes, the cloud, and the rushings of mighty waters. He consumes the enemies of God and releases words and directions to the angels of the Lord to protect you and to watch over you and to meet your provisions and to lead you and guide you and assist you in your purposes with God. He is the all-powerful Holy Spirit, the Father sent to us, the Spirit of his Son Jesus. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. Until Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit could not be given. Do you remember what he said to his disciples? He said, I must die. I must die for the sins of the world. And then I must leave you. For if I don't leave you, I cannot send to you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was coming, but not staying. But now he says, once I've dealt with the sin issue, once and for all, he says, now that I will send to you the Holy Spirit of God. And this ominous, omnipotent Holy Spirit is called our helper. How personal can he be? He is there to be with you in the night hours. I want you to know that when everybody else forsakes you on this planet, if you've gone through a marital breakup, if you've had your children reject you, if you've had your parents reject you, if you've had your best friends reject you, if you've had the church reject you, if you've had society reject you, there is one who will never reject you. If you will humble yourself before him, repent of your sins, and say, I need you. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has given you the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is more personal, more loving, more caring, more anointed than you can imagine. He absolutely loves you. You are God's inheritance, and he has been sent to get you ready for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. He's the Holy Spirit of God, who at this very moment is stirring in your breast. He's the very Spirit of God who's energizing your legs. He's the very Spirit of God who's putting the words of life into your mouth. He's the very Spirit of God that's bringing revelation to you. The Bible says he prays for you with utterings
and groanings that no man can speak. He's on assignment, and you're the work that he's being assigned to. He is your personal teacher, your trainer, the one who walks with you and helps you and comforts you and sees to it that the doors open before you. He is God, a very God, in our midst and in our lives. And we haven't seen anything yet. He is just the down payment of what you're about to receive in eternity. I hope there's a little dance going on in your heart right now. I hope there's a song rising in your heart right now, because the Holy Spirit is after you today. He's after you with the favor of God. He's after you with a bucket of blessings. He's after you to help you, to purify you, to inspire you, to encourage you, to lead you, to guide you, to empower you, and to release you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by him. He gives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, miracles, faith, prophecies, tongues and interpretation. He also is the giver of the personality of Jesus. For he is called the one who gives the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, discipline, faith, goodness, gentleness, peace, joy, and all those things that come together to give us a perspective of the personality of Jesus himself. And he is not just wanting to fix your circumstance and situation. He's wanting to change your very personality so that you shine like Jesus. He wants you to have power, and he wants you to be beautiful, and he wants you to shine, because he's getting you ready for the glory of the Lord in this season and at this time. We will see more increased power of the Holy Spirit. I started this message by saying there is no agency, no government determination, no group that's going to be able to save you from this present darkness, but the Holy Spirit will. If you will draw close to him, if you'll open your heart and say, I'm going to walk with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus said, walk in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He wants to walk with us, to speak to us, and to interact with us. And now, the Holy Spirit is manifest in this place. We've given honor to the third member of the Trinity this morning. Don't you love him?
Yes.
Aren't you excited about him?
Amen.
Don't you say thank you,
thank
Holy
you,
Spirit, for coming to me. You who was there in creation, now who loves me, now has indwelt me. What mystery of mystery is beyond this? What great anointing is beyond this? What great present that you have ever received compares to this present, the gift of the Father to you, the Spirit of his Son. Can you not just feel his presence here now? I want you to stand to your feet. And let's just worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in all of your design, in all of your assignments, in all that you have for us. Oh, Lord, come to the depths of us now. We thank you that you indwell us.
But come to the very depths of us now. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Father. And we thank you for your abiding presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just worship him? Can you lift your voice and say, thank you, Lord? Any way you can. Just I want you to worship the Lord now. If you can speak in tongues, I want you to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 If you just have the English language, then praise him with the English language. Just give him thanks. Let your voice be heard in the midst of the congregation. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We praise you. We welcome you in all of your designs. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless your name. We give you praise and honor and glory.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.